Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to True Set Free. My name is Matt Lewis. I'm here with Pastor Steve Winery, coming to you live from Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities. Thanks for tuning in. If you have questions for Pastor Steve, you got a couple options here. One of them is an email, crosswalkradio@gmail.com. You guys can text me or leave a voicemail to 707-872-7677. There's an acronym. It's 707-87-CROSS, if that helps you remember. Okay, there's a bunch of stuff going on. Honestly, there's too much stuff to even tell you about. So download our app, calvarytricities.org is our website, and both of those have all the stuff that we have going on. Other than that, I don't have much. Do you have anything you want to tell them before we jump into some questions?
No. Okay. I'm ready.
All right, let's just kick into it because we have quite a full plate here today. All right, my first one, Pastor Steve, is in Proverbs. And I'll just read you the verse, 13:24. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. And then the question is asking about this response, kind of like a commentary on this question. And it says, if we hearken back to the days of shepherds using rods to guide their sheep, there's a critical distinction in how they use their rods. They did not use them to hit or harm their sheep. They used them to gently guide their sheep to keep them from wandering off and getting hurt. That's an incredible paradigm shift. And then the last paragraph, another word worth defining here is discipline. It means to teach, not to punish. Even Jesus' disciples, same root word as discipline, were reasonable for teaching. Responsible for teaching. The rod, and then they quote, gentle guidance, was used to discipline, to teach, or to guide. The disciples did not bring people to Jesus by being his punishers around the world. That certainly would not have been an effective approach. Gentle guidance, discipline, is what modern-day parents, Christian or otherwise, would call healthy and loving boundaries. So would you agree with that? Would you change it? Can you unpack that summary for us?
Sure. Let me give you a short version. I would throw that book away.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really bad interpretation of a passage. Number one, when you go through and you look at what's being stated there, it says, it talks about the word for rod in that passage. One of the things that you've got going on here is you're conflating rod with staff. Mm-hmm. The staff was used to guide. The rod was a weapon. And so that's wrong. Anybody who's raised sheep knows that there are times when sheep need to be disciplined. My wife and I have raised sheep from lambs. And my wife had, when we first moved here, we got some acreage. And so my wife wanted some lambs. And so she got a couple. And one of them was a little ram. And I told her, okay, you know, you love him now, but he's going to be a ram. And she didn't believe me. His name was Boaz. Boaz will always love me. She fed him with a bottle and that whole thing. Boaz grew up and he became a ram. And so basically what would happen is I would go out, and if I turned my back on him, he'd run up and butt me in the bottom. He could lift me up. I'm a 260-pound man, and he could lift me up and butt me 3 feet or so. And so they're very strong. And also when you're talking about sheep, they have a pecking order. And so sheep will pick on smaller animals or animals that are different than them, and sheep will pick on children. And so one of the things that happened was some of the people in our fellowship, their kids went out in the pasture with the sheep, because sheep are so cute. And the sheep started chasing them, and especially the ram did. And so at one point there was this ongoing thing with the ram, and I would go in and I would take a rod in with me so that I could take care of Boaz, rod being a 2x4. And so it was an equalizer. And so Boaz would come up and he'd do his thing and I whack him across the top of the horns and I only had to do it once. And then he got the message and I didn't hurt him, but he would back off. And finally, what ended up taking place is Boaz was up at the top of the pasture and one of the kids got in there and he started going after him. My wife ran up and I wasn't around. My wife ran up and grabbed him and got the kid out of the pasture, but Boaz would not stop, and he was going to ram her. And so she backed down, and it's like, gosh, it's probably 350 feet, football field, basically, that she had to walk backwards with her hands on his horns before she could get out of the pasture. And the next day she put him in the paper. And some nice men came to take him away saying, oh, we'll use him for breeding. And we knew that wasn't the case. Boaz became somebody's meal the next day because you don't have a situation when you've got sheep that you never have to discipline them. And so that's wrong. That's not even factual, especially when you're talking about ancient shepherds. The other thing here is another word worth defining here is discipline, it says in the passage, in the commentary on it. The word discipline is not in that verse. So the NLT translates this, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. The word discipline, as far as rod of discipline, is not in the passage. It is just the word rod. And so using the NLT is a, I'm blanking out, it's a paraphrase. So the NLT is a paraphrase. Using a paraphrase to define doctrine is not what you do. You need a word-for-word translation. And every word-for-word translation of this verse says, those who spare the rod or those who spare his rod hates their sons or their son. So the word discipline is not in that section there. So it's not a rod of discipline. It's just the word for rod. And when you go through the book of, one of the things that you do when you're defining a passage or you're defining the use of a word is you take the use of the word that is given by the same author in the same book. And so, for example, Solomon wrote the book Proverbs, actually most, the vast majority of the book of Proverbs, and he uses the word for rod in this passage 8 different times. And every single time, it's talking about a flexible branch. Every single time. And even when it's used figuratively, it's using rod as anger or some the rod of his anger. It's the idea of beating somebody with your anger.
So can I read one of those verses? Because I had a pull up.
Go ahead.
A couple chapters earlier, same guy, he said this, wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding. So it's the idea of verbal and talking. And then it says, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding.
Yeah, exactly.
Same rod.
Same rod. Then you have Proverbs 13:24, chapter 13, is it 24 that we're looking at?
Yes, that's the one that they quoted.
13:24, yep. It talks about that. Then you have Proverbs 22:8, he who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. And that's the one that I was talking about where rod is used figuratively in that passage. You got 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Proverbs 23:13, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell, or actually from the grave. Is most likely how that term is being used there. And what that's talking about is if you withhold correction from a child, specifically physical discipline, and one of the things that the NLT does, and this is another thing that is manipulative about the use of the NLT in this passage, one of the things that the NLT does do is when it goes to some of these other passages, it talks about physical discipline. And this person obviously does not want the word rod being used in the context of physical discipline. But the NLT is actually faithful in bringing that across in other passages. Again, it's a paraphrase. And so paraphrases are good for what paraphrases are good for, which is expounding on a passage. But you don't use it to define doctrine, because a paraphrase by definition throws words in there that are not in the original language. And so you don't use a paraphrase to do that kind of stuff. In this passage where it talks about if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. That's not a promise of God that you can wail on your kid and it doesn't matter because God's going to protect him and not allow him to die. What that's talking about is if you spank a child, if you use biblical discipline on a child, you're going to deliver his soul from death. This means he won't get the death penalty. And so when you're looking at people who are on death row, almost all of them are the children of single mothers, and almost all of them have had no parental influence from the male or reasonable parental influence from a male throughout their life. And literally, they haven't been spanked, or not spanked biblically, and they haven't been corrected in those ways. And so, when you're looking at this, Proverbs 26:3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. And again, it's the same word for rod. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. And so again, the word rod there, and again, it doesn't mean like a piece of number three rebar, 3/8 rebar. That's what number three is. It doesn't mean a piece of rebar. What it's talking about is a flexible branch, or a flexible, basically not a twig, but
switch.
It's a switch is what we're talking. It's a glue stick is what we're talking. A flexible glue stick is what we're talking about in this passage. And so, and the other thing that you have when you're defining a passage in the Bible, you don't use a modern definition for a concept. What you have to look at, this is 1000 BC, right around that time, 1000 BC, and when they're talking about a rod in 1000 BC, are they talking about coming up and giving somebody, reasonable correction with a nice voice? Or are they is that what it means when it says a rod for the fool's back? I use reasonable correction on the fool's back. That's not what it's talking about. And so in about 1000 BC, it means getting a spanking, whether it's a child getting a spanking or an adult getting a spanking. And one of the things that you see biblically is that guys, people in ancient times, instead of putting them in prison for 6 months to 3 years for something like stealing or for something like, actually, in the Bible, you never used it for stealing, but something like assault on somebody else, what you did was you took them out and you gave them a whooping. And that works really well in the lives of men. And I think that if we changed our penal system somewhat, we could cheapen things up when we could actually help people. I think,
amen to that.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys who are in jail who just need a spanking, man. in actuality, it's one of those things that ends up happening anyway. They get spanked by the government, or they get spanked by other inmates, that kind of thing. And I know you being a sheriff's deputy, I don't know if you would admit to this. Were there ever times where you ignored what was going on in a cell block?
Define ignored.
Where somebody who needed a tune-up was getting one for free, and you just didn't, you looked the other way.
There may have been a few times. Or we found out a way to deal with him lawfully.
Yeah. So guys need discipline, and one of the things that you have, especially in the times that we're living in, is people who are absolutely opposed to physical discipline, and the Bible teaches it, and you just have to deal with it. And so again, we're not talking about going around beating your kid up. That's not what we're talking about. But we are talking about physical discipline, and so anytime I talk about this, I gotta give examples of how it's used badly and how it's used in a good way. My mom would come into the room with a belt and just whip me all over, screaming and yelling, and the belt was flying, and she would hit me wherever, and it never hurt. it probably hurt when I was younger. I just don't remember it, but it never hurt. My dad, on the other hand, was very thorough.
Yeah.
And I never got more than three licks from that guy, but he made an impression. And he would talk to me in between, and he was completely calm, and it made me want to do exactly what he told me to. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't a Christian. And so when I disciplined my kids, you discipline for the two R's, wrong attitudes. I'm joking around about the R. Wrong attitudes and rebellion. And that's what God disciplines for. And so when my kids had wrong attitudes, I'd give them a chance, tell them to shape it up. And if they continued, then it's into the bedroom. We had a talk, and I'd tell them what they were going to get a spanking for. And they would, you know, they would go through the whole thing. How many am I going to get? And da-da-da-da-da. And I tell them, and then we do. Then I made sure that they understood the boundaries, that kind of thing. They did have boundaries, and they were always clear. And then they'd get a spanking, and then I'd let them cry. And then we would pray. They would ask Jesus to forgive them. Then they would go to their sibling, usually that's what was happening, and ask them to forgive them. And then they were free, and they were forgiven at that point. And it just does wonders with a kid. And as the passage says here, a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. And anybody who takes that counsel from that book and uses it on their children is going to have huge problems when that child becomes a teenager.
You know what I notice about that too is that, you know, this is age appropriate.
Uh-huh.
When you, from a youngster, because you're talking about, I can't verbal communicate to a one-year-old.
Right, yeah.
They don't understand biblical definitions, but I can with their backside.
Right.
Because they understand that.
Or with a three-year-old.
Yeah.
You don't reason with a three-year-old.
Right.
You know, they have really basic concepts. They understand very little as far as adult concepts go. They do understand no. They understand yes. They don't understand what the boundaries are. They understand those things. And
so when you start, though, as a young age, and this is for my kids, and subject to change, they're not in high school yet,
yeah,
and free will, and I get, don't write me a letter, I get all that stuff. But when you start out, like, I didn't have to spank my kids very much.
Right.
Because I developed a pattern. When yeah. when you're dealing with kids that never got spanked and they get to 8, 10, 12, 15, their heart is so hard, you got to bring the heat, and it's way worse. It's way more violent for them. And I'm not just talking spanking. I'm talking spiritually speaking in their life,
right,
to try and rein that in when you're fighting the reverse.
And usually it's more violent for them when the parents finally lose it on them.
Yeah, like your mom.
Yeah. So it gets violent. And usually when I'm talking to somebody that is having problems where they're losing it with their kid, it's because they don't discipline them promptly,
yeah,
as the Bible says. And so they're waiting and waiting and waiting and counting to three and counting to 10 and count, you know, and doing this kind of stuff where you can, you decide when your child is going to stop. And unless you're completely foolish, you decide when your child is going to stop. And so do I want them to stop as soon as I say it, or do I want them to stop as soon as I count to 10? And if it's like, you know, if it's a situation where I'm telling them to get away from the TV, you know, counting to 10 is fine. If it's a situation where I'm telling my kid not to step into the road, counting to 10 is not okay.
It's death.
Yeah, it's death. And I've literally seen that with a parent. Had a kid that they were training in exactly that kind of way, the kid ran out of church, ran out the back door, ran into the street and almost got hit by a car with her mom running behind her telling the child, stop, 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 doing that kind of stuff. The kid almost died. And from that point on, the parent had a whole new standard of how discipline needed to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny how that works.
Yeah.
So I pulled this aside. It's called A Shepherd's Looks at Psalm 23. And it was only to point out what you already said about the difference between a rod and a staff.
Right. Yeah.
So you covered that. But I was going to say, you know, when it says gentle guidance, discipline is what modern day parents Christian or otherwise would call healthy and loving.
Uh-huh.
When I look at that statement, it's like, look at the kids in what would be modern day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a free-for-all.
Right.
They're all over the place. So right on the gate, I would probably do the opposite of what everyone's doing nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of verbal processing here, there's just been this transition, and some of it is to demasculize and defatherize how maybe a dad would handle parenting and stuff. And I picture, you know, like a woman, a college-educated woman who's puts herself in a position where she's nicer than God and makes this whole gentle guidance thing something that's loving.
Yeah.
But the problem is, when you tweak that definition, raising boys especially,
right?
You are, when it says you hate your son, that is why.
Right.
Because you're not more loving than God. And what you're going to do is you're not going to restrain him. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to grow up to be a son of hell.
Yeah.
And that's why it says that you can literally beat the hell out of your kids, and it's the idea of saving them from all of that carnage.
Right.
And so this is such, I don't know, I have my sneaking suspicion that this, they stole this from psychology, and then Satan gets in there, and then all of a sudden we're in a position where we have timeouts and counting instead of actual godly parenting under this guise that we're spiritual and holy.
Yeah.
And it just wrecks people.
Yeah, it does. You know, and again, I've got, gosh, probably almost 50 years as far as ministry goes. And every person that I have seen that has raised their child with this kind of concept has had children that have gone off the rails in major ways and, you know, just not come back. And it's not a good thing. And I'm not saying that even a kid who's been spanked doesn't have a free will. They do.
Mm-hmm.
They do. And so they get to choose what they want. But again, this is the best method to keep your child in boundaries where their life is going to be productive and where they're actually going to be liked by people.
And by you.
Yeah.
Raise kids that you like.
Yeah. I liked my kids. I loved them. I liked every part of raising my kids, even the parts where it was hard. And so that's what you want, and that's what God wants. And this is not the ticket. This'll wreck things for you. You'll feel good about yourself till your kid's 16, and then it'll be all their fault. You know, I don't know.
I think that's why I get so passionate, is that I talk to these kids all the time, all day long.
Right. Yeah.
And being in corrections, those were all the kids.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you have no idea the carnage that's coming from this.
Right.
All right, good on that?
Yeah, good on it.
Number two, I attend a big Christian college. The theology teacher, every student is required to take theology, by the way, will not refer to God in the masculine. When my teacher says, when the Lord took himself somewhere, he would say instead, when the Lord took God's self somewhere. Is this a small matter I should look past, or should I raise my hand? ? And if so, what scripture or points would you address? I want to be respectful, and I know he's smarter than me, and I might end up looking like a fool, so I wanted your opinion first.
You know, whenever God is addressed in the Bible, it's in the masculine. And so if you know anything about languages, it's straightforward. It's in the masculine. And so that off the bat lets you know that your teacher's got an agenda. And so that is not theology. The term theology literally means the study of God. And if we're talking about biblical theology, it's a study of God in the Bible. And so you cannot get past this. When I look at a situation like that, I don't want to wreck things for you, man, but I would be looking at the whole issue of the college you're going to. If I was the dean of a college and I had a theology teacher that said when the Lord took God's self somewhere, he would be fired immediately, because that is not theology. And so I don't know what to tell you except for, you know, as you go through the Bible, every reference again to God is in the masculine. And so he's kicking against what the scripture says. And so small matters become big matters. And I can guarantee you that as you go through and look at some of the things that he's going to teach in other areas, it's going to be tweaked, because he's taking his philosophy not from a biblical worldview, but from a worldly worldview. And you're going to have some issues there.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.